Our scripture is from Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 7. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Better get something to drink. Long message. Help you brought your lunches. No, it's not really that long. Now, in the past few years, we've heard much in the news about the necessity of our country returning to close family relationships. But actually, it's not just close family relationships that are needed to help save our country. It is godly, Bible-centered family relationships that are needed to help save this country. It is faith in God's way of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life. And it is God's way of living revealed in his word that gives us the abundant life while we're still on this planet. Today we're going to look at one of the greatest family men who ever lived. We will see how his faith saved him and led to the saving of his household, his covenant family. Our text for today is Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned by God of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. This chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, contains what is called the roll call of faith, or the roll call of the faithful. It is a review of men and women from the Old Testament who, by God's grace, had faith in him. Their faith was faith that saves, which was proven by their obedience to God. This is not works salvation. Anyone who is saved by God's grace alone, by Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone. Today, we're going to observe the faith in God that saved Noah, And we will see that we must possess that same type of faith if we are to be saved. Our text makes three main points concerning Noah. First, Noah believed God. Second, Noah obeyed God. And third, Noah was rewarded by God. Now we'll go to our first point, Noah believed God. The first part of our text says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned by God of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, reverent fear. We see two things here. First, Noah listened to God's warning. And second, God's warning caused Noah to be moved with this godly fear. This first observation that Noah listened to God's warning does not mean he just heard the words that God spoke to him. It means he heard and he understood that God meant business. He meant business. In Genesis 6:13 we read, "And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth.'" Of all the people on the earth at this time, Genesis 6:8 tells us only Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. By God's grace, Noah had faith in him and was trying to live a righteous life in the midst of a wicked world. When God warned Noah, he was going to destroy the rest of mankind because of their unrepented wickedness, it didn't just go in one ear and out the other. Noah believed God would do exactly as he said. It was not seen as yet, but Noah knew it was as sure as if it was done already. And this brings us to the second observation in this section of our text, which is God's warning caused Noah to be moved with a godly fear. Again, this is a holy fear or reverence that Noah had for God. It's a type of godly fear that should characterize all believers. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." And sometimes people say, "Oh, well, that's Old Testament." What? Philippians 2:12-13 tell us to work out our salvation. That's New Testament. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Fear and trembling. Have you ever trembled in fear? I have. When I was a kid, I can remember sometimes thunderstorms would be so loud, be just overhead. And you're alone in your bed, and the thunder is rolling, and it sounds like it's going to come right through the ceiling and get you. And I trembled. I remember that. Noah was aware that God, in His grace and mercy, had decided to save him and his family, yet Noah was moved with this reverent, godly fear. The type of holy fear that Noah had is the way that we all should fear to be disobedient to God. Throughout the Bible, you will find pronouncements of God's blessing upon those who are obedient to His word, and God's pronouncement of God's wrath upon those who are disobedient. Proverbs 14:26-27 tell us, "In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and His children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Sometimes people look at the Ten Commandments and they think that they are the way that it's just boring and, I don't want to do that. The fun is what the world does and the excesses to which they run and sin. And they're running to destruction. It looks like fun. They laugh and it feels good. I remember I was a part of the hippies back in the 60s and 70s. I know, look what happened to him, Costas, whatever happened to him. And there was a sticker, if it feels good, do it. And how many people have, I was all a part of that. How many people, though, remained in that? Old friends of mine that I knew, that they felt good with the drugs, and then it went further and further and further, and some died and sin, and then there's all kinds of disease that is so prevalent in the world. I remember looking at statistics and the breaking of the sexual commandments, adultery, fornication. That we just had a pandemic. Everyone's, a pandemic, it's worldwide. Well, you know what? There's a pandemic of sexually transmitted diseases right now in this world. You don't hear about it because, feels good. You don't want to spoil people's fun. You don't want to sound like a Bible thumper. No, that's awful. But there's a pandemic out there for people who are running away from God, and they're running to judgment in their own lives on earth, and then forevermore they'll be out of heaven. They'll be locked out of heaven. And this brings us to our second major point. Noah obeyed God. He was not disobedient to God. His healthy fear of God caused him to obey, and he demonstrated his obedience in two ways. First, he built the ark, and second, he condemned the world in the building of the ark. And we'll look first at how Noah obeyed. He did not just build any old ark. He built the ark that God commanded him to build. God gave him this specific instructions, the specifications for building the ark so it would be able to withstand the devastating flood and float for almost half a year. Noah also must have encountered great difficulties in building the ark. It was about 500 feet long, 90 feet wide, and 50 feet high. And I know people argue over the measurements and this and that, but that's about, I think we get the picture. It took Noah and his family about 100 years to build it. So we see Noah's obedience was a sustained day-to-day obedience as he persevered in the task God set before him. And think about yourselves. I think about my family as I was growing up. My family really worked hard, and all of them, they had jobs, and I've been out in that world working in different jobs, and especially before I knew the Lord, and it's a drag. It's you get tired of it. It wears on you, and as they're saying, Noah knew all about that, 100 years worth, just day after day after day. And so, praise God. Then the second way Noah showed his obedience was in his condemning the world. Noah's neighbors must have observed this gigantic structure and the hard, exacting work that Noah was putting into it. They must have asked him why he was building it, and he must have told them. 2 Peter 2:5 calls Noah a preacher of righteousness, which gives clear indication that he not only told them about their coming doom, he preached it to them. By God's grace, Noah had faith that God would certainly destroy all of wicked mankind with the flood. Noah also had faith that God would save him and his family. But Noah really showed his faith in God and his condemnation of the world when he persevered in building the ark exactly as God said to build it. Noah demonstrated a full assurance of faith in his obedience to God. That's why God honored him in Hebrews 11. He's included in that roll call of the faithful. And now we come to our third major point. Noah was rewarded by God. We see two rewards here. First, his family was saved from the flood. And second, Noah was saved not only from the flood, but also for eternity, because he received the righteousness which is by faith. As we look at this first reward, we must realize that others in his family were probably saved for eternity also. We have clear indications that his sons, Shem and Japheth, were saved, while Ham was cursed by Noah for sinning against him. But it is not our purpose to get into all of that today. The important thing to see here is that God's working in Noah, what he did. Noah's family was directly affected by Noah's faith in God and his obedience in building the ark. His family may even have given him a hard time as he made them help him build the ark. It doesn't say they all were real happy about it. It's 100 years and very exacting work. And you have all the neighbors around making fun of this work. But he continued to trust God, and his faith was rewarded by his family being saved from the flood. Then our text says Noah's second reward was that he himself was saved from the flood. In the words of the last part of our text, he became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. We who live on this side of the cross have a clearer view of what all this is talking about, because we know that the New Testament's clear about Jesus died for our sins. Our sins were put on Jesus. A lot of times what we don't think about is that his perfect righteousness was imputed to us, so that not only are we sinless as we enter heaven, we're considered righteous in the idea of Christ's righteousness. We're robed in his righteousness. That's how God sees us. That's how God ordained it. So we have a clearer spelling out of all of the technical aspects of what was going on. It's interesting that today there are people who think the Bible teaches that people in the Old Testament were saved by their obedience to the law, or in other words, by their own works. But here in our text, we see it was not the righteousness of Noah's works that saved him. It was the righteousness imputed to him for the faith that he had by the grace of God. It was a gift, just as our faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2 tells us. Yes, Noah had to say Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 with all the other believers in history. For by grace am I saved through faith, and that not of myself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest I should boast. All the glory is God's. Now, how does this apply to us as believers? Well, as we've been going along, I've been making some applications. But first, we also have believed God's warning of the coming final judgment, in which believers in Jesus Christ will be saved for eternity and unbelievers will suffer for eternity. We as believers have reverently feared God's righteous wrath and by God's grace have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus is what? He is our ark of salvation. Jesus is our ark. By faith, we've entered Jesus, entered into salvation in Him. Our salvation is built according to His specifications. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. That's a specification. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. Now, second, we must ask ourselves if we are building our lives to God's specifications. While it's true that our obeying God's commandments will not save us, yet it is also true that our increasing obedience will give evidence to us and to others that we are truly saved. Jesus said we would be known by our fruit, we'd be known by our works. Not saved by them, but known by them. We will see ourselves walking in the good works in which He ordained us to walk. Ephesians 2:10. If you see yourself being rebellious to doing things according to God's Word, if you avoid serving Him joyfully and faithfully in His church, ask God to forgive you. And by God's grace, determine that from now on, you will start building your life according to God's specifications. Then thirdly, we will see that our faith and obedience will be rewarded. First, the fact that by God's grace, we're saved for eternity. That's our greatest reward. That's the greatest treasure in the universe. There are people spending money, unbelievable, money they can't afford, using their credit cards to buy lottery tickets. Now, I hesitate to use the word lottery when I talk about our salvation, but that's it. There, by God's grace, we have the winning ticket. The greatest wealth in the universe. We're not going to hell because we deserve it. We're going to be going to heaven, and we certainly don't deserve that. But God has decided to save us. It talks about God choosing, God electing. If you're trusting in Christ as your Savior and Lord today, it's because He gave you faith. He gave you the fear of Him, which is the beginning of wisdom. So Jesus took our sins upon Himself on the cross. He suffered God's wrath for us. God's perfect justice was satisfied. We then received His perfect righteousness, as I indicated earlier. God imputed that righteousness to us so we could enter heaven. We, by faith in Christ, have entered the ark of God's eternal salvation. And nothing can take us off of that ark. You know, you think about them on the ark, that water just going to heave back. I could seasick very easily. I would have had real trouble on the ark. But think about that, how rough it was, and the noise, and just how rough it was on that ark. And you know what, brothers and sisters? I bet you, in your life, sometimes you have you been rocked back and forth on this ark of life that we're on here? I'm sure you have, some ways. Just as Noah's ark was built to save Noah and his family from the fury of the flood, so also Jesus Christ was ordained to save all believers from the fury of God's righteous wrath against sinners. But the second reward spoken of in our text is that the Lord may use us to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Maybe it will be our families, friends, neighbors, co-workers, or complete strangers. I know I've flown. I don't like really flying that much because I'm one of these people that if I'm in a vehicle, I like to drive the vehicle, but they won't let me fly the plane, so I have to temper that down. Just they're better at it than you, George. But I know over through the years, the people who sit next to me, I usually try to bring the conversation around to the gospel. And I remember Ruth and I were flying down, I guess it was in Georgia, I guess, the mountain there, is that what they consider it, and the General Assembly. And I remember sitting next to a lawyer, and he wasn't real excited about talking to me, but he was a Jewish fellow. But anyway, I tell him, well, my Savior's Jewish, and he's the Jewish Messiah. And, so you talk to people about that and share the gospel with them. But if you get back to Noah, as the spiritual head of his family, caused his family to be blessed when he trusted in and obeyed God. We could think how awful it would have been if any of them rebelled and was lost, and that didn't happen. By God's grace, there was no sinful rebellion, and the family was greatly blessed. Now, maybe you're a Christian today, and you're not the head of your household. As we look at Noah being the husband and father, perhaps God is still going to use you and your faithful obedience to doing things God's way to gather your family into the ark of eternal salvation. Have faith, pray, and obey. Trust God to always do what is right. Now, one thing I want to say to you covenant children here this morning. You who are the children of a parent or parents who are true believers in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:14 says, because you are a child of a believer, you are holy to the Lord. Praise God. That's a wonderful privilege. Now, perhaps some of your parents drive you a long way to come to this church. You might say, aren't there other churches which are closer to which we can go? There are. Yes, there are other churches, surely. But your parents are seeking to worship God in spirit and in truth. They want to be in a church where the preacher preaches salvation by Christ alone, by faith alone, by grace alone. They want you to know how to find eternal salvation according to God's specifications, and then to build your life according to God's specifications. Noah loved his family by doing things God's way. And they were saved. May God grant you covenant children the grace to see how much your parents love you, and may you always remain in the ark of God's salvation, found only in Jesus Christ. And this brings us to any unbelievers who may be present today. As we go to God's Word, we see that you need to see the position you're in your relationship to God. John 3:36 says this, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, but he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." If you're an unbeliever today, the wrath of God remains on you right now. God is perfectly just, and so he must punish sin. Someone has to pay for your sin. God tells us in his word that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And he also tells us that the punishment for sin is eternal separation from him, which will be eternal torment. You don't see it now. Your sin and Satan have blinded your eyes, but you were created to glorify and enjoy God. And so, that will be eternal torment when the eyes, all that's taken away, and you see your condition and it's too late. But God is not only just, he also is love, and he has provided salvation in Jesus Christ. Just as it says in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. Also, there's another day coming when God will destroy the earth, not with water. He said he'd never do it with water again, but with fire. And let me take you to God's Word. Here it is. This is God's Word coming to you. From 2 Peter 3, I'll begin at verse 1. "Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the Lord by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And all who are his elect, they will come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it, all will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth in which righteousness will dwell. But if you die tonight in unbelief, your doom is sealed today. You will not have to wait for that final day of God purging the world with fire. Okay, you have the warning. You've heard the warning. You may laugh at me and all other believers, just as they may have done in the days of Noah, or you may heed God's warning, and by God's grace, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. May God have mercy on you, and may he give you the grace to believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you, Lord, each one of us here who by your grace has been saved. We thank you, Lord, that we have entered the ark of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can never be cast off. You said in your word, nothing and no one can separate us from you once we're yours. And we pray you'll make us more faithful. Enable us by your grace, Holy Spirit, moving within us to build our lives according to your specifications, joyful, loving obedience to your commands. And we thank you for Noah, Lord, the example he is to us. Look forward to seeing him, talking to him in heaven one day. And we pray that you'll shine through us brighter and brighter. Help us to be so filled with joy in our salvation that witnessing is really not a chore for us, that we really will be concerned for people's souls and reach out lovingly with your word and see souls saved. And we do pray that you come soon, Lord Jesus, and pray in your precious name. Amen.